Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
And 3, 2, 1. Another week of footy is ready to rock. Hear every minute live here on digital radio and on the Triple M app. For McDonald's, we are Triple M Footy.
Clouds clearing, blue skies above ANZ Stadium as the mighty St George Illawarra women's NRL side has made the field for this grand final to hold women's premiership. The Broncos coming down the tunnel. They will be all on fire, roughly 2 or 3 minutes. That game will begin next. So the mighty man, Mr Mark Spud Carroll, joins us. Lovely to have company on this grand final day. Nathan Brown is with us, Emma Lawrence, Wendell Saylor. My name is Tony Squires, and Mark Carroll is here. Spud, g'day. How are you feeling after your medical journey of last week?
Mate, this time last week I was watching AFL. Well, you were sick. I was sick, yeah. No, it's I've recovered 6 days in hospital. North Shore Private Girls did a great job with putting up with me, but a little tick certainly took the better of me. But I'm back, and best day of rugby league grand finals. I always get envious. So jealous. I know people say you've played and you won, but I just know what these guys are going through and afterwards and just the whole week. It's absolutely brilliant.
But what is it like? How do you put into words not just the build-up, but the celebrations afterwards?
Celebrations. It's just I just look back when I was a kid and now I'm an England winner, he's first, and he said, yeah, you can play for your state, play for your country, but to win a comp with your mates is the best thing ever, and I've got to fully agree with him. It was one of those magical days. We played in the day footy, and that night certainly went on and on and on.
You obviously, there's many images of you, confrontations with other large men playing the game. That's what a lot of people are expecting this evening. Josh Papali for the Raiders, Jared Waerea-Hargreaves for the Roosters, two guys who like to go forward, and doesn't matter if it's at the expense of some other human. You looking forward to that?
I hope so. I just think Jared, with him being fresh 1 week in, I love the way he plays, puts his heart in his sleeve. But the other dude, he is a man mountain. He just goes, he's got such a big engine for a big man. I just think I think Ricky should be commended. The way he's changed his forwards this year. Last year, they were all big blocks of outhouses. Now they're a lot structured wise. They can get around the pitch. But Parley's the fittest I've seen him. And you can see by him playing 70 minutes in a game.
Hey, Spud, who's your favourite front row to watch? Like, you know, Big Nelson or whoever. If you have to pick one player for the whole season, who would it be like you get excited about?
Oh, you knew it was going to say Big Nelson, didn't you? How big is that him? I love him, mate. I just think he's go forward, his aggression. Wouldn't you just love to have that body for one game? He's 6'8", 6'9", and he's 125 kilo, just a wrecking ball. So I just think with them being in the Melbourne Storm, the system down there, well, it's just that they're, everyone knows their job, and they just do it.
But what about, Tane? Obviously had some great duels with Chief. If you take Chief out of the equation, who was the other front rower you really respected a lot in your sort of in your heyday when you were playing test and grand finals?
That's a good question. No one's really asked me that, Brownie. I just think who'd take the best? Chief always brought the best out of me.
I knew Chief was one. That's the one.
There was no one else. It was just Chief all the time. I just thought we knew we'd always bring the best of each other. The other guys coming through, like I was lucky enough to play with Dave Gillespie. There's some blokes that were big hitters. Ian Roberts was another. He was a very tough front rower.
Yep.
I played with and against Ian.
I was at Brookvale one day and I tried to get up the middle. Owen Cunningham, and he smashed me and I was still trying to lip up. And Cement just goes, mate, you just got smashed. Shut up.
I remember,
he could hit.
I remember when we'd play Manly and I'd be Gordy there and Gordy'd say, you don't mess with Ian Roberts.
Yeah.
What do you say that again?
Yeah.
You don't mess with Ian Roberts.
He saved me from Cowboys game. I put it in reverse, like, Gordy stepped in, mate, and he was chasing me the whole game.
Brownie, when you play with Gordy, did you kind of snipe from behind him a little bit?
Well, if I sniped and I was in front of him, he'd soon get in front of me. So he was all, I knew he had me covered. He gave you a lot more confidence, Gordy. He certainly gave, but yeah, this is what they're saying about Papali and Hargreaves. Mm. You know, these blokes that lead the forward packs, and, you know, Spud just spoke about Cement, you know, and Ian Roberts. You know, these blokes, there's a lot of tough blokes on the field, but there's certain blokes who make the other blokes feel better and feel more comfortable.
Yeah, when I signed with Manly in 94, I went there and I wanted to win a comp. I didn't know what money I was going to get, and he said he was buying Terry Hill and Dave Gillespie. I said, where do I sign? He goes, what do you mean? Yeah. I said, mate, I want to play with Cement. That was it. And then we worked out the money side of it, and then we had an unbelievable side for those, you know, 4 years at Manly.
When we spoke on Triple M yesterday to Brett White, and we said, Who's the one player that you think the teammates look around and look beside and think, I know we're going to win because he's in my team? And he said John Bateman.
Yeah,
do you love watching him? That's a big call. Yeah, I was expecting it to be Papa or maybe Josh Hodgson. But do you love, I mean, he loves a bit of niggle and he's real tough, isn't he?
How good is he? He's the little pommy. I can call him a pommy because I'm a half pom. My mum's a pom, so... Just the way he plays, if there's a bone on the ground, mate, he wants to fight you for it. He just goes for the full 80 minutes. He niggles, but he's a really good defender. And he's ball playing. He's old school Pommy. He goes through the line. He's got a great little ball. I just think it's the full package. And, you know, he's going to be highly up there in the rewards if they win tonight.
I tried to sign him at Huddersfield. He was 16. Out of Cripplegate at Huddersfield Giants. He's playing for Bradford. And when they sort of get to that 16 age, that's when they become open to the market base in England. And he said, oh, you've got to watch this kid Bateman, and he's at Bradford. And you see him, he's 16, he's got half a tooth missing, he's got a daughter at 16.
Yeah, Millie,
Like, and you watch him play, and you see he's got the little legs, and he's not real big, and then you go and watch him play, and just a phenomenal player. And I actually tried to get him to Newcastle a few years ago when I got the job earlier at Newcastle, but because he's separated from his partner and he's got a daughter, and he wasn't ready to come out at that stage, but he's a... He defies logic the way he plays the game, but mate, if there's a dog in the bone, he's in the bone.
But you said they just love their footy. Like the Pommies just love their footy. It's like the Travoy Bishop brothers. They just say, "Oh, geez, can't believe you did that, mate." They've been doing that in the backyard, going around the letterbox and little flick passes. That's the same with the Bateman. You can see in his eyes, he just wants to play rugby league.
He's scared of no one.
He was in high demand too because apparently the Burgess boys were trying to get him to Souths at the same time that Canberra were trying to get him there. But I think Josh Hodgson got him over the line. So he's been such a great addition and I was lucky enough to speak to his family who were touched down from the UK a couple of days ago too. Okay. So his daughter couldn't come over because of school and she was only here about 6 weeks ago. Yeah. But his grandma is over here, mate and his brother too. So small cheer squad. But really special to have them here.
When I was walking in the gate, I saw Josh Hodgson's mum and dad because obviously I used to coach against Josh in England quite a lot. Yeah, so I was walking in the gate and there they are. They've flown out just for 4 days.
They buzzing?
Yeah. Oh, they're pumped, yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Did Johnny say to you he's not coming to Newcastle because it's too warm and there's nice beaches?
Oh, no. He wasn't quite ready. So it's an interesting story, Johnny, because Johnny Bateman played left back row as a 17-year-old kid for Bradford Northern or Bradford Bulls, whichever you like to call it. But a year or two earlier, Elliot Whitehead played right back row for Bradford as a 17-year-old back rower. And then Johnny Bateman as a 17-year-old kid, he then played 5-8 in a Challenge Cup quarter final. Wow. Like, you know, he's a big time player from 17 years of age. And same with Elliot Whitehead, all these Pommy forwards that come out that go so well. When they're 17, they're playing against grown men, playing 80 minutes of footy where our kids are playing against other kids, you know, and they learn to be tough quick.
Brandy, what about this halfback coming next year? Is he the real deal?
He's a good little player, George. So George is a Wigan kid, and I always tell anyone that you follow the footy over in England and Wigan, like, you wouldn't fight the cheerleaders at Wigan. They're tough. The old coach, Sean Wayne, was tough. Like, if they're from Wigan, they're tough. So his competitive skills are great. He's got an outstanding short kicking game. He's been playing his whole life on the fields that have got really small in goals, you know, so his short kicking game's outstanding. Great competitor, carries the ball well. He will help Canberra improve. It might take him half a season to find his way in this competition, but he will make Canberra a better football team next year.
Hey, Brownie, do you think now that sort of Ricky has started, I guess, that trend, do you think that other coaches and other recruitment managers will look over in the UK a bit more?
Yeah, they've just got to... People just need to be careful and they need to understand the game over there and they need to understand what works. You know, we've seen some backs come out here, and I exclude Ryan Hall because Ryan Hall, to me, is alongside Dell and these blokes that are the finer wingers in the game. You know, Ryan Hall's come out at 32 off a knee, Rico, so he's an outstanding player, Ryan Hall, but you got to really understand the game out there and you got to understand why these forwards come out here, why they make it, and there's certain things these blokes have all done as kids, and you just know that I can pick out another half dozen forwards in England who will just stroll out here, and they'll be as good as the blokes that are out here, you know. I still believe the best English forward of the past 20 years never came out. Sean O'Loughlin, I think he's the best. There's more forwards over there that would be outstanding out here, but you got to understand what works and what doesn't work. If people don't do their homework properly, they can certainly get a dud. But the other thing is, the English are very... They're very tribal, and you get an element of English like Elliot Whitehead and Josh Hodgson, the Burgess boys. They're desperate to come out, but there's other blokes who play as well, who they've got this little village they live in at Castleford or Hull, for example. and they have got zero interest in leaving it. And where have you travelled to? Oh, I've been to Spain once or twice in my life. They just don't like leaving their place. And if you said that, geez, this place is a bit of a, they use the terminology shithole in England, that's what they use. If you said that, how offended they would feel. Yeah. This is such a huge element of English people that have got zero interest in leaving their town or leaving their little village, and they love it. So there's certain things you've got to understand before you just go to the market.
It's 4 points to nil, the Broncos over the Dragons, 18 minutes to go in this first half. The Broncos putting plenty of pressure on the Dragons, who've copped a couple of mistakes up. A try on the sideline wasn't converted. 4-0, the Broncos over the Dragons, Triple M rocking the grand final. Oh, the Broncos over the Dragons, the Holden Women's Premiership, 12 minutes to go in the first half. Once again, we head down to the sideline where Ben Dobbin has one of the all-time greats with him. Dobbo?
They don't get any better than this. Walter Lewis, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. Yeah, I'm excited. Being at the footy again, grand final day, it's hard not to be.
Yeah, I talked to you a lot about this, and you like Canberra, but can you see the Roosters getting beaten tonight?
Oh, I find it very hard to imagine them getting beaten. I think they'll do it, and could do it by about 16, 18 points.
Really?
Everybody's suggesting that the Chooks will be right in it till the end. But mate, I've got to say that I probably think that they'll do it quite comfortably.
Up to you guys.
Hey, well, mate, what's your take on Jack Whiten? Are you impressed with his positional move?
Yeah, Wendell, when he made the move from fullback to 5'8", I thought it was a bit of an unusual one, but he's got size, he's got some authority about his play, and he's a lot better than I first gave him credit for in his ball-playing manoeuvres. At fullback, he was simply running the ball back into play, aiming for the gaps, that sort of thing, but his creative skills are very impressive.
Wally, are you enjoying seeing the Broncos jersey in the ascendance here over the Dragons in the women's game?
Yeah, they're doing pretty well. I've watched them most of the games this year that they've played, and Dobbo and I have been talking about it relentlessly. There's some enormously talented young ladies here, and I take a real interest in Ellie Brigginshaw. I played with her dad, Larry Brigginshaw, on the Queensland Primary Schools team in 1971, so that was in the last century. But the creative ability that she's got on the footy field has been fantastic. But look, this is remarkable. The standard of the women's game has far exceeded what everybody thought it'd be.
Yeah, Wally Spud, Carol, mate, hope you're well.
Yeah, good, Spud.
Mate, the analogy is you've got to, you lose one to win one. With the Canberra side, can you see that happening?
Oh, look, I think they've done extremely well. I've got to be honest, I didn't expect them to get to the GF. I probably thought that they display plenty of ability and be worth their weight, certainly in the fixture games and maybe go quite well in the finals, but I didn't expect them to get this far. They're a remarkable side, and I think Ricky Stewart's settled down a little bit as well, just watching. I love watching a coach and the way that he sort of handles success and failure. And Ricky seems to have done that quite well on the sidelines. He probably paces a couple of kilometres per game, but he looks like he's handling the pressure pretty well.
Wally Nathan Brown, mate. Hope you're well.
Yeah, good, mate.
Mate, when I was a young kid growing up, very, very, very young, living in McLean, my dad used to get me to watch you in State of Origins, and he used to educate me on how you could change the momentum of the game with your kicking game. So he used to get me to watch that. Do you think Canberra's got the kicking game to be able to change that momentum today?
Well, Whiten will be doing a bit of that, but I think the man that's sort of flown under the radar here has been Aidan Caesar. He's one of those guys that he hasn't got a lot of raps from people watching the game, and he's a pretty talented young kid. I like watching him when he was on the coast, but I've got to say, when you measure it against the strength of the Roosters' kicking game, Canberra's tends to look like it's down a little bit, but it's got to be at its best. Down here on the sideline today, I'm quite surprised by the strength of the breeze that we've got up here, so whoever's got the use of it in the first half, I think they've got to make the most of it and certainly cash in where they can. But to answer your question, mate, I probably think that that is an important role for them. Can they match the Roosters? Well, I very much doubt that.
Been a bit of a struggle, obviously, for the Broncos this season, up and down. Ultimately, they finished the same as last year. Do you have hope, so that there's that great young forward pack can get the halves that can drive them around a footy field?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Dobbo and I have been going to most of the training sessions, or all of the training sessions. And
oh, can I just say, before we start, you want to talk about a bloke that doesn't shout a coffee? Wally Lewis.
Oh, wow.
Just throw him under the bus.
Turn it up. There's a finger pointing in the other direction here. I can guarantee I know who it is, who goes up to grab the coffees while Dobbo's waiting on halfway, taking making sure that he cashes in on the attention. But look, the Broncos themselves, it's been a very, very hard year for them. It hasn't been sort of put to bed exactly what the problems have been, and I think that they've got some long, tough months in front of them. I don't think this is going to go away, and Brisbane Rugby League public have always been wonderfully supportive of the Broncos. That's tended to fade away a little bit at the moment, and that's very, very sad.
Well, Wally, speaking of that, I was quite surprised that yourself, one of the greats of the club, and also Darren Lockyer, rubber stamped, if Matt Lodge was to be captain, you're okay with that? I'm all for redemption stories, but I just think to captain a club like the Broncos, I think that's a big ask.
Yeah, well, it is. Yeah. I tried to find the part where I mentioned that in the paper. I don't recall sort of going too far away from that, but if he's in that position, Wendell, good luck to him, and he can take it upon himself to certainly earn the respect from the teammates and public by wonderful on-field performances.
You didn't actually say that, did you, Walt? You didn't,
no.
You didn't rubber stamp him, to be honest.
No, well, I don't remember saying it. If I did, whatever I had to drink, I'll have a double the next time around. but I don't recall mentioning it. But I'm not putting him down. I quite admire the way that he's come back, but I think leadership, particularly at a club like the Broncos, is certainly a position that's enormously important. Have a look at the guys that they've had since Alf and Lockie. They've really tried to make sure that they've had some wonderful leadership. I'm not trying to put Lodge down here, but I think in a position of such importance, you've got to get it right the first time. You can't go replacing guys one after another.
How with the half situation up there, well, obviously there's been a lot spoken about that, and obviously this forward pack that's probably as talented as younger players as a group that we've probably ever seen in the game since it's been in the NRL or salary caps, however you like to put it. How do you see the half situation? Do you think the answer's there, or do they need to find it?
Yeah, I think they'll look around for a little bit. Milford, whether he was 5'8 or fullback, there just wasn't real certainty about the position. Who was playing in the halves? Well, that was probably their toughest problem all season, just trying to come up with somebody that was going to be able to fill that position. That in itself, I find, is an area that the Broncos, they've never really had to worry about that before, because they've made sure that they've put into effect smart choices at the beginning of the season, or certainly at the end of the previous season. They've got a plan ahead. It's not going to be easy for them, and I think it's going to take them a little while to get out of the strife that they're in at the moment. But there's got to be some important decisions made. But the man in charge, whoever is coaching the Brisbane Broncos, has got to feel the full confidence in his decisions.
All right, Wally Lewis, terrific to talk to you. Thank you so much for sharing your time this afternoon, mate.
My pleasure. Thanks, boys.
Good on you, Wally.
Yeah,
thanks, Dobbo.
And I was going to ask you about James Seguiaro, but it's all right. We didn't have time.
Yeah. And Spud Carroll. Yes, Spud Carroll. I know you also have things you have to get to. Quick tip before you head out.
I think the Roosters by 15+. I just think we haven't seen the Roosters at their best. The best saying, they haven't played for the full 80 minutes right to the 80th minute. I think with Hargraves coming back, their spine is incredible. They've been here, done that before. And I think Cooper Cronk's going to go out a winner.
All right, mate. Enjoy your evening. Thanks so much.
Well done, mate.
Still 10-0 here. 4.5 minutes to go in the first half. The Broncos over the Dragons. In excess, rocking the grand final for Triple M. We just spoke to Wally Lewis. Well, from one immortal to another. Sunday Triple M NRL caught up with the great Mal Meninga a little earlier.
Mal Meninga, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Good afternoon, gents. How are you?
We are fantastic, Matt. I was watching you guys on Fox League the other day, you guys watching the 89 grand final. By geez, it only seems like yesterday that you uttered this, those words that it's better than Origin, it's better than anything winning a grand final.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but yeah, it was good to reminisce. It's always great to reminisce. We've had a bit of reminiscing this weekend with the 89 side, and a lot of the Raiders fellas are in town at the moment, obviously, and Kangaroo reunion yesterday, so it's been a lot of reminiscing, but yeah, it's always great to... Great to come to the grand final and see the Raiders in it.
Mal, we've got a bit of a theme going in the show at the moment about how trying to pick favourites and it's harder than picking your kids. Do you have that with the grand final?
Well, I'm biased, Kenny. Mm. You know, so I mean, when you pick a win, I mean, obviously, the Roosters are, I think, you know, deserved favourites for the game. Being a really consistent team for many years now, and obviously trying to go back to back, but. The unpredictability of the Raiders and some of their great players with it. They talk about experience, but I like the experience in the Raiders side. A lot of internationals, a couple of guys have played Origin, so I mean, I think it'll hold them in good stead today.
I think what people overlook with the Raiders is the entire pack are internationals.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, even Bateman, Whitehead and Hodgson, I mean, they played, you know, I don't know how many, over 100, nearly 200 games in the English Super League. So you shouldn't underestimate that as well.
Yeah.
Hey Mel, you played in so many grand finals. Do you have a favourite one?
Oh, a favourite one? 89. You know, 89, you know, from the Raiders' point of view, you know, the first team outside, the top threes was top five in those days, first team outside of Sydney to win it. You know, the circumstances in the game, you know, down at half time, draw at full time, 100 minutes of footy just to win it. You know what I mean? You know, Steve Jackson's, you know, try at the end. It's, you know, it's really an emotional time. And being a Queenslander, coming down to New South Wales and, you know, playing the New South Wales competition, for me personally, it was a pinnacle for me because, you know, winning grand finals in New South Wales, I believe the toughest competition is something we always dream of.
They got a lot of support behind them at the moment, Mal, the Green Machine. I think because they haven't been here for 25 years, everybody who isn't already a Roosters fan, the Raiders are essentially everyone's second side today. So what have they got to get right when it comes game time from a pure rugby league perspective? What have they got to do well from the opening whistle?
Oh, I think, obviously, you know, we was talking about their starts, really important. The Roosters get off to a great start. It could be anything today, but I just think their start's really important. I think defensively on their edges, you know, I think the Roosters will test them, you know, the third man in, you know, second man in the centres, in particular, Jared Croker and BJ Leilua. I think they'll test them a fair bit defensively. So, I mean, the centres and the edge defence has got to get it right today.
Mel, what about when you came to play for Canberra, when you made that move down to Canberra, I would assume that there was probably half a dozen clubs or more that wanted your services in the Sydney comp. What took you to Canberra?
It was a conversation I had with, you know, Wayne Bennett at the time, to be honest with you. Don Ferner was the current national coach at that particular time as well. They were very good friends. They admired each other, respected each other. And through those conversations, and obviously, Gary Belcher was coming down with me. Chicka Ferguson was going there as well. Steve Wallace, you know, was playing the BRL at the time. He was coming down. So we had, you know, a pretty good bunch of players, you know, going to the Raiders. I think at the time, their reserve grade just made the finals, I believed. They weren't too far off finals themselves, the first grade side. I think it might have been in 85 as well. So, you know, I thought it was a team on the up. And the other thing about it, I just got back from St. Helens, played St. Helens in England, where just the one team town, you know, sort of thing, one town teams that, you know, were highly successful. I just felt, and it wasn't a risk. I just felt that, going there would be my best option.
We know you'll be out here later on this afternoon and this evening. Mal, how are you feeling? You've been practicing the horn blowing for the big event in the Viking Club. It'll be epic.
Oh, no, I mean, I've been talking about it for the last couple of days now. People in the streets are stopping me, you know, and I just give them a bit of a rendition, you know, so how it's all going to go, right? So, I'll be fine, mate. Mentally prepared for it, I am.
It's sort of hard to get wrong, though, is it, Mal?
Yeah, it's very hard to get wrong, yes. I think you've just got to get the timing right, though. You've just got to put the lips on the horn, at the right time.
Because you don't want the horn to start blowing before you actually get on there, which is a risk.
Very much so.
Well, we'll say, Mel, they've had it in here for about an hour or so now, and it's been going, was going off nicely. It didn't even have anyone at the other end, just, but it was, it sounded in good fettle anyway.
Magic
horn. Can you just take, us a little video of for me and just send it? Let me just say, make sure that, I know where it actually is and things like that too, if you don't mind.
All you got to do is get to the right end. Yeah, it's a small end, not the big end. Other than that, it's all done.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm sober today, so everything's fine.
Yeah, that's a good start. Hey, have you spoken to Ricky this week?
Well, I was actually staying in the same hotel as him, believe it or not. You know, I come down on Friday. So, yeah, I mean, it was really relaxed. It was excellent. The players, you know, had the day off on Friday and had a bit of yarn to fill them, and they're very relaxed and, you know, pretty calm and composed. You know, looking forward to it. It's been a really good week for them. Sucked up the atmosphere and what goes with grand final week, you know, so they'll be right. They're ready to go, I believe.
You famously sensed before the 89 grand final when you shook hands and flipped the coin with Wayne Pearce that he was nervous, and you went back to the dressing room and told the players that you thought the Tigers were nervous.
Yeah.
What's your mood now with your read on the Raiders?
Oh, I think they've done a really good job this week. You know, I really think they'll come out and produce their best performance. So again, whether that's good enough, Kenny, I'm not quite sure, but I think that, you know, regardless of what the result is today, the Raiders boys will be, you know, they'll do their town and all their followers and fans, you know, proud today.
All right, Mal. Well, mate, you enjoy it, buddy. I hope they get a win for you. And it's such a momentous occasion, is it? 30 years on, you beat the Rabbitohs to get to the grand final. Maybe the planets are aligning for the Green Machine. We wish you all the best.
Yeah, let's hope so. Thanks, guys.
The great Mal Meninga right there. Plenty to come on Sunday. Triple M NRL, including a game of 3-5 like you've never heard before. Mr. Brightside for you as Triple M rocks the grand final and the women's grand final 10-0. The Broncos lead the Dragons at halftime. Brent Reed joins us. G'day, Reedy.
Hello, guys.
What's the word? What's the Jake Friend word?
Well, I think the sense among most of us in the press box is that he's going to play. I think that's the sense we've had probably for most of the week. I mean, when Robbo came out last week and said he was 5 minutes away from playing last weekend, you would have thought for 7 more days he'd just about get there, and obviously he kept him in the 19 when he whittled his squad down last night. So I think the sense we're getting is that he'll play. The question is where he plays, whether he's off the bench or in the starting side.
Nathan Brand, it's a big call, isn't it? I mean, Sammy Verrills has been playing great footy.
Yeah, it's a big call, but look, he's been in the side for 2 premierships under the same coach. You know, you talk to players, I've coached some players from the Roosters, and the word around the game is how much they respect him and like him. Is it a big risk if he goes out there and plays 20 or 25 minutes? I don't see it a risk at all, because Victor Radley plays big minutes, Hargraves plays big minutes, both edge back roles play for ever and a day. It takes a little bit of pressure off the young hooker who if the game is tight, could become vulnerable at the back end of the game for me. If it's a hard, close grand final, there's 15 to go, the young hooker's done an outstanding job, but the ability to give him a break's great. And if they get an injury in the backs, they've got Mitch Orbison. So, you know, I just don't see it as a risk. If he's fit, I don't see it as a risk at all. And the coach knows him well, and the players love him. So, but you've played with blokes you love playing with. Well, that's what Jake Friend's
for
like,
sure.
Apparently.
Yeah, but I feel sorry for Lindsay Collins, because he'd be the guy likely to go. So last year, Napa come back and he missed out.
Must be heartbreaking, because as good a club as the Roosters are, and they're generally at this stage of the year, yeah, you need things to go your way and plays fit. So we could play for the Bruces the next 3 or 4 years and not get to play in a grand final.
Well, Lindsay Collins is already 18, isn't he? I mean, so it's going to be somebody else who's going to have a heartache. I mean,
really?
Whether Sammy Verrills, you think he would play, but whether it be, I don't know, Butcher or Tedavano.
Butcher would.
It'd be Butcher. Yeah. Butcher would miss out.
Oh, yes, okay.
Butcher would be the one that would miss out for sure. Yeah, Tedavano, Tokiaka, and Crichton. Butcher would be the one to miss out.
So those little stories within stories, isn't it? That moment for him, if that's the case, of being so close to a grand final and not getting a run out with the boots on.
Oh, mate, what about the response? You know, the younger generation, they certainly are, as the generation's going, we get very, very different. But Lindsay Collins' response to understanding that he's going to miss out again, the way he spoke, he must be a champion kid. The way he responded to it was outstanding.
That's the sort of kids you want at your club, don't you?
100%.
Sometimes they're the best stories. The guys who miss out the year before and you know, get the opportunity the next year. I mean, he looks as though he's not going to get one, but, you know, he was a great story this week, Lindsay Collins. I mean, he's a young guy who'll get another chance, won't he? And obviously, Nat Butcher misses out. That's going to be heartbreaking for him too, isn't it? Because he's been there for most of the year, I think, Nat Butcher.
Yeah, good kid too.
Well, the coach gave Lindsay Collins the ring from last year, his ring from last year. And Zane Tedavano was a great story during the week too, him giving his grand final ring to his grandfather, and then when his grandfather passed on, he'd given it back to him, but just before the casket closed, put it back onto his finger and said, that's where it
belongs. Up great stories in the final week, doesn't it?
That's great.
It's amazing stories this week.
Just phenomenal. There's a lot of hair standing up on the back of people's necks all evening. This game's about to resume, the women's game, the Broncos leading 10-0, and have looked all over the top of the Dragons, who have been forced into lots of errors. They're playing big, powerful. Ali Brigginshaw, you mentioned she, and Wally Lewis talked about her skill set as well. She was so determined. I saw her talking during the week, kind of comparing it to State of Origin. They had a bit of State of Origin heartache, the Queenslanders this year. They want to take it out on the Dragons. Now you two are new to the show, obviously, really not in this capacity. I'm not sure you've ever played this little game. Let's listen to what it's called.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 and 5.
3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 3, 5.
Very simple operation, gentlemen. How were you at pop quizzes at school, Branny?
Absolutely useless.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to how you go. This is very simple. Usually what happens is the questions are really easy. The problem is that it's time pressure. There's a ticking clock. You have to come up with 3 answers within 5 seconds. Del, very, very good at it. Very calm, very cool, very collected. And usually there's a theme, and obviously we're at a grand final, end of a season. So I've kind of got a little bit of a theme. And I'll start with you, Brownie. And this is pretty simple. We've got the clock ready. There's so many of them. We've spoken to one of them already today from the sideline. Name 3 of our retiring players for this year.
Maloney.
Dell.
Gallen. And Maloney, Gallen, and
Scott.
He's got two out of a possible 1,000. There were many. It's an amazing little class. I'll get back
Inglis.
To that. Inglis, of course.
Well, Ryan Hoffman retired last year, and he was at the retiring... lunch this week, so...
Yeah, I know. Well, Mick Ennis retired in 16, and he's there all the time. Can't get rid of him. Yeah. Jeremy Latimer, of course, from the Dragons. But I'll go through those in a little bit later on as well. All right, now for you, Reedy. Could you please name 3 players who have played for both the Raiders and the Roosters?
That's a bit harsh. Chica Ferguson?
Yeah. Where?
Current ones or past ones?
Joel Monaghan?
Yep. How come you're
Can I go again? Because that was a very loose question.
Brett Mullins.
Wait,
were you Brett Mullins. Pongy, it's easy that one.
Yeah, now you're going. Look at there.
But you were talking all time. I thought you were talking the current side.
Todd Carney.
It wasn't very clear.
David Barnhill.
Well, the question, it was a confusing question.
It was not a confusing
question.
Brownie wasn't confused. Were you confused?
No, I heard that one.
Were
easy
you confused,
No.
Only you, Brent Reed. Look at him.
I've got him now, though.
He's very, very angry.
Also, Pongy. Barney.
Brett Mullins.
Absolutely.
The only one to win a comp for both clubs, Brett Mullins. Won a comp with both. The only one to do so.
Correct. Ricky got him, dragged him there.
You mixed the questions. I would have got the retiring players because I was at the lunch.
Yeah. Well, only Wendell Saylor or the Rhino, because he's so musically gifted, will be able to get this one. The band we have entertaining us this evening from the United States is One Republic. Name 3 One Republic songs.
Apologise. Love Song and Champion.
You get 3 points for just saying words.
Yeah, no. Apologise, bud.
Apologise for Counting Stars.
Did you know on Channel V this morning there was a One Republic special playing all their songs?
They're brilliant. Well, he's great. The guy Ryan Tedder, he wrote Halo, of course, for Beyonce.
So
he will be performing Halo this evening as well. There you go. The score is 12-0 now. The Broncos over the Dragons. 27 minutes still to play in this grand final. Plenty ahead as Triple M rocks the granny.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.